My voice. Just think. What you're actually hearing is the tiny word molecules flying into your ears, which are then collected by the earhole receptor men, who build the words into sentence polymers and send them down your information tubes deep into the middle of your brain, where they're absorbed into your understandment glands. The Failing Writers Podcast. We don't just do writing, we do science too.
So, I'm thinking this is all about excitement. This is the moment that everyone's been waiting for.
This is like the reveal of Bake Off winner, X Factor winner, and the bit in Antiques Roadshow where they're just about to tell you how much that vase actually costs.
Yeah.
It's like all rolled into one.
I'm possibly more excited than I've ever been in my life right now.
And you sound
this is coming across, isn't it?
I sound
really is.
Actually, your voice hasn't gone high enough. Dave, do you want to try that again?
Should I say that again? I'm possibly more excited than I've been in my entire life.
That's better.
Is that more like it?
Yeah, no, I think people will buy that. Good.
Because the winner is going to be announced.
They are.
The winner of the second annual Failing Writers Writing Competition is going to be announced here today. Somebody currently listening to this show is about to win £300.
And the absolute, just the... the industry prestige
within the
literary world.
Life-changing prestige.
Tell you what we haven't got that we should have had. We haven't got a trophy, have we?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like on MasterChef, they're sort of, oh, yes, the title's nice and all that, but that little, the trophy in the shape of a
hobbering.
Well,
if you want to rustle that up, Dave.
Should I knock some up quickly?
What would our trophy be for the, like a broken pencil?
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know, with each end in the...
like stabbed into a
pad.
Yeah, snapped and arranged in the shape of an F.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Oh, I'll see what I
just have that chromed. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll knock it
up. I'll just put cling film around it and then put some tin foil on it.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to...
I could probably cobble it together from some dog treats and then wrap it up.
Yeah.
That'd be way more on brand.
Brilliant. Definitely. Okay, well, that's that sorted.
Perfect. I'm actually feeling a little bit nervous.
Are you, John?
I don't know why I'm nervous, because I've not even entered the competition.
It's quite exciting, isn't it? Because I feel quite invested in a lot of them.
You do.
And although I think there's seven that have made it through to the sort of the final judgment, there's not anything to pick between them. And even the ones that, you know, we all picked some to go on and there was a bit of overlap and what have you. But even the ones I didn't pick, it's not like you're going, wow, that's ridiculous. I didn't like that one. How's that going? You're going, oh, I'm glad someone else picked that one because that was nearly on my list as well. Like, there's nothing to pick between them, really. It's just...
but somebody's got to pick between them, Tom. We can't give 300 quid away to everybody on the list.
No, we can't. Absolutely can't.
Yeah, because we should point out that whoever wins, we actually don't know who's going to win, do we? We genuinely do not know who's going to win.
No.
I haven't got a clue.
Exactly.
I can't even remember who's on the shortlist. Never mind who the winner is.
I believe that.
So shall we go
that.
To our star judge, Rosie Wilby?
Let's go live now to the judge's chambers.
Right, yeah, if that's where judges...
And
we have to rap on the door three times.
Yep. We approach the bench.
Yeah.
It's probably a heavy door, isn't it?
Probably like very heavy
sound
and creaky.
Door. Yeah.
I'd put a bit of oil on that, Tom, I reckon.
Yeah, probably should.
Yeah. Okay. And we need to...
the trouble is, Dave, if you put oil, it makes rubbish sound effects.
That's a really good
for doors.
Yeah. And if you oil them. Door.
What about, can you put the sound of oil on there? Like a sort of thing.
That's very subtle. I like that.
And then it will just open smoothly. Like a...
okay. Yeah. Well, can we go back in now? We've oiled the door.
Let's go
in. Can we go back in now? Okay, cool. Remember to bow when we enter.
Okay, Your Honor. Depending on how you fancy.
Yeah. Just keep it all
above
board. And
let's say hello to Super Judge Rosie Wilby.
Hello, Rosie.
Hello.
Hey, Rosie. How you doing?
Okay, thank you.
Marvellous.
You got married since we last spoke. Congratulations.
Thank you. God, yes.
Congratulations.
It's been a while.
Good. So you are still married. We're not hit that awkward window where you're like, actually, guys, something to tell you there about news.
Imagine that. That'd be terrible. No, right. I am indeed still married, and it happened at the beginning of June.
Oh,
so, yeah, Lovely, super. Lovely times.
Very nice. Has it changed everything?
No. I don't think it really changes anything that much. I mean, it was lovely, the day itself. But to be honest, just about a week after the wedding, we both got COVID. So,
that's nice. Nice you can do something together.
That's right. So that slightly took the honeymoon shine off things. But yeah, so, you know, really it's just back to normal and, you know, lots of work and all the normal things. But of course, you know, it's lovely to be able to get married. For much of my life, I didn't think that was something that I'd be able to do. Yeah. Lovely stuff. Yeah.
Marvellous.
Right then, well, enough of the small talk. How are we going to do this? How are we going to reveal this year's big winner?
Tell you what, shall I read out the seven in the shortlist?
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Yes. Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Build the drama.
Well, this is exciting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, in no particular order, we have a surprise for Sebastian by I'm going to start again. We have A Surprise for Sebastian by Anna Gadd from the UK. We have Love Like a Wave by Stephanie Percival from England. Hashtag by Jennifer Last from Canada. To the Hall of the Grand Wizard by Chris Bennett from the UK. Parent and Child by Lucy Owen Sherrington from England. And One Elephant by Danielle Callis. Don't know where she's from. And finally, Love Tantrum by Michelle Chamberlain. They were the seven shortlisted pieces that we sent to our lovely judge, Rosie. So then.
Yes.
Interesting shortlist. A good shortlist there.
Good mix.
We've mentioned a few of those, haven't we, already last week? A few of those cropped up in our long list.
Yeah, and then we had a few new contenders that made their way onto the shortlist.
That
wasn't
snuck
after
in.
That.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
But here we are, down to the last seven.
Yeah.
But that is soon to be the last three.
So Rosie, what was your first pick, which would be the third pick?
Bronze medalist.
But your first pick of the day, but the third pick overall.
Okay, so my first pick is third place.
Yes.
Okay, and I just do want to say this was really difficult, and I there were things I liked about them all, and so yes, it's definitely not easy, and well done everybody. But in the end, I've gone for my third place is Love Tantrum.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Brilliant. Which I'm going to read out now so everyone can bask in its fantasticness. Here it is. Love Tantrum by Michelle Chamberlain. The ridge of a black hole is not an ideal place for AI to have an existential crisis. Yet here we were, held captive by a tantruming computer. I love you, it said again. I love you, I love you. Yes, all five crew members exclaimed in unison. Yes, you've got it. Captain Jashira wiped the sweat from her brow. Now please restore maximum propulsion. God, this machine was a pain lately. But I don't feel it, the computer whimpered. You're a machine, you won't feel it. How many times must we explain? That's it, Genevieve, the mechanic growled. I'm going to reset it. No, the computer wailed, and its hologram came online to appeal to our human nature. A nature that would mean nothing in a matter of minutes. There's no time for that. Captain's right. Even in this accursed situation, Bellatrude's voice remained upbeat. We can't restart the entire system. It would only exacerbate the problem. I'm sure it can be reasoned with. The first mate's optimism was a marvel, as mysterious as the black hole they'd soon be swallowed by. Raphelia approached the hologram. The computer's chosen image was a woman from the rom-com which had inspired this mess to begin with. We will die at this rate. Do you understand that? You are going to kill us. What's the point of living anyway? The computer's image sank to her knees, sobbing. Where the hell had it learned that? Bellatrude stepped forward, gently lowering herself to kneel with the impossible AI. She was a beauty. They both were, really, two angelic-faced women kneeling at the centre of a control deck, on the edge of no return. Captain DeShira bit her tongue, choosing to let this attempt play out, while also glancing at Tricia, the navigator. Tricia was spaced out, her face pale as she watched the ticking clock, counting down their doom. Bellatrude held the AI's shoulders. Impressive, since it was a hologram and therefore unholdable. The computer's simulated blue eyes looked up at hers, the tears still rolling, but eyes hopeful. Bella pushed the AI's hair behind its simulated ears. Impressive teamwork, that. So well matched that the hologram truly appeared to be a real person. And traced the ridge of the hologram's chin, her touch soft as a kiss. Then Bellatrude, the brunette beauty, leaned in, pressing soft lips against empty air sculpted in the image of the rom-com actress. When she pulled away, she held the AI's chosen face, searching its simulated ocean blue eyes. "I love you," the computer said again. "Yes," Bellatrude praised in a gentle whisper. "But love is more than romance. It is genuine care. If you love me, you'll save me. You'll save all of us." That line would be laughable, usually. But nothing was laughable when you're seconds out from the point of no return. The AI's image stood and wiped its tears. "But I don't feel it." So, Rosie, what was it? I mean, I love that one. What was it about it that hooked you in?
Because I was really interested in this idea about a computer, an AI, trying to understand the concept of love. Because that's certainly something I've tried to understand in my shows, all about the psychology of relationships and sexuality and breakups and so on, and in my two books. And it does not really seem to make sense when you try to map it out in any kind of mathematical way, when you really look at how matching algorithms should work in theory on dating websites. And, you know, and I do think it's interesting how technology does play such a role in our romantic lives now, but also computers can't really, can they, understand the nuances of human attraction. And so I just found that idea and that concept interesting, and it was a really different setting to obviously all of the others. And I really enjoyed it.
I don't know how I feel about you picking that one for third, because I think that might have been my favorite overall. I'm glad that it made it into the final pickings, but I think that probably was my favorite.
It was great. It had tension and comedy, didn't it? Which isn't an easy thing to pull off, I think.
Yeah.
And I think probably as well, after our slightly frustrating experience with AI last season, this felt particularly relevant as well.
Congratulations. Who was that by again?
That's Michelle Chamberlain. Well done, Michelle.
Michelle Chamberlain.
Very good.
Well done, Michelle.
Copy of Scrivener coming your way. And if we can, track you down, then we might even send you a T-shirt if you're lucky. How about that?
Yes.
Hey, we didn't even promise that.
Wow.
That's just a bonus.
I mean,
unbelievable.
We could probably chuck it like a bookmark in as well.
What? Come on,
Dave. Well, we got a load left over, haven't we? So, in fact, we could probably send a bookmark to everyone who entered a story, and we'd still have hundreds left.
Got bookmarks to cobble dogs with.
Yes. Congratulations.
Brilliant.
But this is just the bronze. This is just the start.
It is. I've got an interesting question about Love Tantrum.
Mm.
There was an interesting point of view thing going on. Did you notice that? Anyone notice that?
Well, we're not going to say yes until you tell us what you think it was.
Okay, so who is the narrator?
Yeah.
Are they a sixth member of the crew? A secret sixth member of the crew who doesn't speak? Or are they like the computer itself? Or am I just massively overthinking?
I think it might just have been a generic omniscient narrator.
Well,
yeah. Good but question.
It's a we, though. It's a definite we, like we were in trouble.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it changes to third person. But I'm thinking probably maybe it's just an edit that Michelle forgot to go back and do because she was writing a short story quickly.
Well, it's nice of you to point that out, isn't it? Just as she's probably feeling really happy with herself. about 30 seconds ago, she's like, yes, get in. Great news. But yeah, any spelling mistakes you noticed, John,
well,
as well,
you know,
while we're
I was
there?
I was last week, you do have to be a bit of an asshole when you're looking at these. You're kind of looking at like the detail of everything. And
there's got to be something to separate.
Yeah, that's
true.
It, exactly. Yeah. But I, quite a while, I was thinking there's something clever here. She's doing something. And maybe it's like another member of the crew. Or anyway, I don't. Probably wasn't, was it? But
well,
anyway.
Maybe she could write in and tell us. Hey?
Yeah, I'd love to know. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Because she names them all as well. Yeah. It seems very deliberate. Everyone's got a name, haven't they?
Yeah.
And they're all girls.
Good names as well.
It's good.
Great stuff.
Oh, by the way, I've got another question.
Go on, John.
Yeah.
What is the rom-com? She talks about a rom-com that inspired The Mess to begin with or something. Does anyone know their rom-coms?
Mm-hmm. No. Really.
Yeah, I don't. I wasn't sure.
Films on a spaceship. Rom-coms on a spaceship.
Red Dwarf.
Could be Red Dwarf.
2001: A Space Odyssey. That was pretty.
That's a classic rom-com.
That was, yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. Yes. On to the next one.
Yes. Silver Place.
So second place, I chose A Surprise for Sebastian because I just love the twist about a divorce sort of being a happy ending, an amicable divorce, and the sort of the surprise in that, and the sort of turning convention on its head.
So who was that by, John?
That is by Anna Gadd. Well done, Anna.
Anna Gadd.
Well done, Anna.
Right, well, Dave, do you want to do the honours and read this one out so we can all have a listen?
A Surprise for Sebastian by Anna Gadd. Where was he? He'd promised to be on time tonight, but here she was again, waiting, worrying, wondering. Surely tonight of all nights he would come to her instead of the other one. She had a surprise for him. The table was set, champagne chilled, and the rich aroma of his favourite Lancashire hot pot filled the kitchen. In the centre of the table lay the buff envelope containing the news that would make everything right again. They'd met at university, and she couldn't believe that gorgeous, clever, charming Sebastian chose her above all the other girls. She was no great beauty, but she made him laugh, and they shared a passion for travelling. Together, they'd taken a year off and backpacked around Australia, New Zealand, and Japan. They'd grown closer than ever, and were married upon their return. It was a small wedding, with just their parents, siblings, and her best friend Helen as bridesmaid. While she would have moved heaven and earth for him, it became apparent that she could not give him the one thing that meant the world to him, a child of their own. The doctors couldn't figure out why and suggested they just kept trying. Month after month of disappointment caused the first cracks in their relationship, and soon he started staying late at the office, not wanting to face the doom-laden atmosphere back home. She met Jennifer at his work's Christmas party 1 year ago. She was single, beautiful, clever, and clearly in love with Sebastian. From then on, despite tearful rows, acrimonious accusations, and desperate reassurances, the writing had been on the wall. Now, here she was again, pacing the kitchen floor, waiting. Pushing the back door open, she stepped into the cool night air. Sitting on the stone step, she remembered the dream they'd shared for the things that could never be. A small tear, soft as a kiss, light as a baby's touch, rolled down her cheek. Suddenly, the glare of headlights lit up the driveway. Sebastian. "What's all this?" he asked, coming into the kitchen. She'd wiped her face and was ready to greet him with a smile. "Hot pot and a surprise," she announced, indicating the envelope on the table. "Let me get you a drink." Sebastian caught her hand. It's the decree absolute, yes. You're free to marry Jennifer. Will you be okay?" His face was a picture of concern. "I'll be fine. You're giving me the money from the sale of the house, and so I'll be setting up the travel agency with Helen. best solution all round. She pasted a grin on her face. I'll always love you, he said. And I'm so sorry. I love you too, she replied, brushing him away. Let's eat. The packing cases are arriving tomorrow, so there's lots to do. You'd better have that wedding soon, she laughed, or Jennifer will be pushing a buggy down the aisle.
So yes, that was a surprise. It's hard to say that, isn't it?
It's quite hard to
say. You were right. Yes, no. It's like, feel like you need to put your teeth back in. A surprise to disaster by Anna Gadd. So what was it that really struck you about that then, Rosie?
I think it was that twist and the concept of the story, and I suppose that the idea of a divorce, of separating and being able to accept your partner being with somebody else, you know, that's a sort of, I think it's a love story very much of the times, you know, and certainly in the sort of areas I've been thinking and writing about, how, you know, sometimes the happiest ending is to separate in a very conscious and compassionate way, you know, and sometimes you have to accept that your partner may, you know, want to spend some of the rest of their lives with somebody different.
Yeah.
And you might want to spend the rest of, or part of the rest of your life with somebody different. And we don't perhaps have or shouldn't have the same expectations about relationships lasting forever, and that that is the only way they can be deemed a success. So, I liked the way this was structured, and that sort of seemed a surprise that the decree absolute had come through, and also just sort of touching about being able to have a child or not have a child. That's something I've been thinking about recently with a piece that I've written for an anthology that Unbound are going to be publishing called No One Talks About This Stuff, which is about childlessness or being child free, however you prefer to talk about being a not parent, not quite a parent.
I love the, I agree. I love the story in this. We talked about this last week, didn't we? And I said, I said it was one that I was thinking about putting into the shortlist, but I wasn't totally sure. And I'm glad I did now. But, for me, it was like, it was the idea of it being about, of love being about sacrifice and not necessarily being about something for you, if you know what I mean. Like, true love is really about maybe giving things up sometimes. And I thought it was very, it was sort of warm and heartbreaking at the same time. It gave me the impression from the story that Anna Gadd is probably a very lovely person.
Yeah.
I mean, she might not be. She might be horrible. It was a really lovely idea.
I thought it showed very well the kind of, it kind of squashed the long period down very well into a short story, didn't it?
Mm.
You got that feeling of erosion over time of the relationship.
Yes, because there was a lot to pack in over a short space of time, and I thought that was.
It did give you that feeling that it wasn't all just drama. You got that kind of, Jimmy talked about, like the first cracks. It was that kind of slow erosion and kind of how you just end up out the other end going, oh yeah, it's kind of all fizzled out into nothing. Mm. A worthy second place.
Worthy second place. So a copy of Scrivener, free copy of Scrivener on its way to Anna.
Yep, 12 t-shirts, 300 bookmarks.
Yep. Anything else we've got lying around in the store cupboard.
Yeah, absolutely. Get them sent out. Brilliant. Well done.
But to the victor, the spoils. This is the exciting moment, isn't it? This is where it's all.
You know, I think we should build the anticipation. I think probably, John, here, there's a lovely slot for an anticipatory ditty.
Ooh.
Yes.
Oh, you reckon? Yeah.
A bit of a song. Yeah.
Okay.
Anticipation. It's the feeling of extremely keen impatience. When you want something you can't have yet, you get upset, 'cause you're infected with anticipation. When you look forward to something because it seems like fun, you really you want it. You feel like you just got, oh, just waiting for it. You mainly just want this song to end. So we can stop pretending that we're not spending your time, just wasting your time. But just when you thought it was over, I carry on just a little bit longer, sing my song, and then I stop. And just sing one more bit. And you've learned about anticipation and shit.
Wow.
That was amazing.
Well, there you go. That day, and we are at fever pitch now after that, John.
Well, let's find out. So, Rosie, what is your choice for the winner of the second annual Failing Writers Writing Competition?
In association with Scrivener.
Oh, well... Interestingly, we've talked about a couple of pieces that had a lot of things happening and how well the writers had incorporated a lot of action and collapsed a lot of time into a short piece of writing. And in the end, I was thinking a lot about how we often start off writing by writing lots of action and lots of things happening, but sometimes it takes us a while to get to the deeper levels of talking about the subtext of what is happening emotionally. So in the end, the piece that I chose, I think, has less action, but more feeling and more creating of a scene, of an atmosphere, of two characters, of two people. And I felt the writing was really beautiful, and I felt like I was there in this scene in a very special way. And I chose Love Like a Wave.
Oh. That's Love Like a Wave by Stephanie Percival.
Yes.
Wow, yeah.
Congratulations, Stephanie.
Absolutely.
That was an absolute belter, I thought. I would completely
agree. Yeah, I just love just the imagery, the sort of sashes toned back, shoulder blades that could support wings firm and bronzed. You know, I just felt the way that, you know, we look at one another, and obviously water is always a bit sort of erotic and wonderful, isn't it? But yeah, just the sort of the colours and the light that it's described. Yeah, I just felt there was something more all-round sensual and sensory about this piece.
Yeah, that's a really good description.
Yeah, it was. It was a sensory overload, wasn't it? That's exactly it. And it was only 364 words as well, which is weird because it feels longer somehow. And
that
in a good
also
way.
Impressed me. Yes, I thought, gosh, this is shorter than all the others, but creates a feeling in a way that the others don't quite to the same extent. And that's what really impressed me, in a short space of time to create an emotional response.
Yeah, it's amazing how sometimes it's just like the space between the words, isn't it? That where all the sort of feeling and emotion comes from.
You know, a story's working well as well when it kind of shoots you back. Do you know what I mean? To a time when you experienced something similar, and this did that to me. It was like going back to being a teenager when you really idolize someone. You know, so much that it's almost like you, I don't know, it's almost like it's not just an emotion you're feeling. It's just like a completely overpowering.
Like a wave, John.
That's it.
Love is like a wave?
It's just like that. But it is, it's confusing, and it is like, it's a bit like drowning, isn't it? It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it's a very simple metaphor, isn't it? But it's a very profound metaphor at the same time. And she makes that metaphor work very hard, I thought.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I wish I knew which your favourites were now.
Well,
I don't think we split them in terms of thinking who would actually win, did we, really? We kind of
put them up
there as an equal.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we didn't want the responsibility, did we? We just wanted to pass it off.
But that one was way up there, definitely.
Yeah. Definitely.
But what has she won, John? That's the big question.
Well, Stephanie Percival, who wrote Love Like a Wave, has won £300. which is not, but that was an excellent reaction, Rosie. Thank you for that.
Not bad, is it?
300 quid.
A crowd full of them, it would have been like a Bruce Forsyth game show, wasn't it? Oh, what a prize.
Yeah. Sadly, not a motorboat, but you know.
Not this not time, bad. But wow. I tell you what.
Who needs a motorboat?
£300. Well, exactly. It's more useful these days, isn't it? Well, yeah. I mean, since we, to be fair, since we thought of what the price should be, it's considerably devalued. But let's not get into politics tonight, shall we? Let's just say, yeah, it's still a big
now,
number.
So, you know,
we should have done it. I told you we should have done it in dollars, didn't I? You went, oh, no, we're doing pounds. We'd have done it in dollars. Could have bought a house or something with that. But that's, I mean, that's the £300 is by the by, isn't it, really? That's not what people want to win this for. They want to win it because they want to hear it fully produced up.
That's right. They want the honour and the glory and to hear it right now.
Love Like a Wave by Stephanie Percival. Read by Katie Rand and Alex Horn.
What is love, then? Sasha questions, swigging dregs of warm beer from the bottle. Hands it to me, stands and stretches. I squint up at her, dazzled. She's haloed by sunlight.
How does love even begin?
She shouts, sprinting towards the water. We're dizzy, celebrating the last day of summer term with beers by the lake. We've been debating the meaning of love. Sun warming our skin and making sparkles of light dance on the water. Stripping off as she runs, Sasha tosses her head, waves of blonde hair flowing around her shoulders. I follow, tiptoe over the pebbles.
Love starts as ripples,
I say, lifting my dress, dipping toes in the lake, gasping at the shock of cold. Sasha spreads her arms wide, yelling,
love should be a wave!
She strides into the water, splashing me.
Big enough to sweep you off your feet.
I watch Sasha's toned back, shoulder blades that could support wings, firm and bronzed. I wade in, buffeted by Sasha's wake.
You've got to immerse yourself in love,
Sasha calls, disappearing below the surface. For an instant, I'm alone, scanning the dark water for her, holding my breath in case she doesn't reappear. Moments later, I yelp. She pulls me under. My head is filled with the movement of liquid, silver bubbles slipping from my mouth and nose. Her hands remain firm on my waist. I stop resisting, and I'm weightless, filled with light. She releases me. I bob upwards, breathless. Less fearful, I sink beneath the surface again. Open my eyes. Blue and green ribbons of liquid wind round me, caressing skin, soft as a kiss. Sasha swims out to the pontoon, strong arms cutting the smooth water. She climbs out, ribs cast like damp sand. I follow, splashing doggy paddle, then tread water below the structure, out of breath. Sasha lounges above me, arranging limbs, like a work of art.
Ripples disperse if you wait too long. Love will pass you by.
Sasha winks down at me. I smile back. She stands, pauses, and dives into the water. A bird plunging, streamlining into its element. The swell created washes over us, moving our bodies close.
Oh, my God, that sounded great.
So I suppose all that's left is to say, Rosie, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, Rosie.
For taking that responsibility off our shoulders.
Okay. I've shouldered the burden.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we're basically cowards.
Okay.
And we didn't want to have to do it ourselves.
She knows that already,
John. She's been on before. She knows. She knows how we roll.
Yes, but, well, if people want to keep in touch with me, I mean, not any sort of disgruntled...
to criticise your decision.
But I'm just releasing the final episodes of the season 5 of the Breakup Monologues, so do keep an ear out for those, and the paperback of the book paperback edition of the book will be out in January.
Oh, good to hear. Excellent.
And yeah, you'll be able to find a link to that on the show notes of this episode.
Right.
Absolutely.
So following that, Rosie, what's next for you? Have you got another project in the pipeline?
Well, I'm still sort of, I'm still kind of playing around with some different ideas, but that there will be more books from me in the future. It's just, I've been busy touring and, touring the Breakup Monologues podcast and the book at Literary Festivals. So, keep an eye out for me doing various gigs and events for the next few months. And I will be popping up around the country at various different literary festivals and events. And probably I always do quite a few live events around Valentine's Day and sort of anti-Valentine's shows. So what with the paperback coming out just before that for New Year Breakup. So I'll probably be busy at the start of the year doing a few events and things, but do want to knuckle down to getting on with a new book. It's kind of sometimes a slow process, isn't it?
Here's a question for you. Has sort of getting married made that element of it harder? Is it because I remember, was it Paul Weller that sort of had this thing about when he got married, he felt like he had to change his sort of approach. He lost some of his sort of creative spark. Have you sort of found that into, because so much of your stuff over the last couple of years has been about breakups, is getting married. Has it made you too happy to be creative?
Art is suffering after all.
I think it's interesting. It changes the structure and routine of your life. I mean, when I was single before I met my wife, I was very busily gigging as a comedian and sort of out most evenings. And now I'm much more choosy about events that I do. But that has also been altered by the pandemic and by the fact that, you know, events have changed and now we can do more events and podcasts like this sitting at home, just in our bedrooms.
And to be fair, once you've been married for a bit, Rosie, that'll swing back the other way as well.
Then I'll be out all the time. Yeah, I can't wait to get away from you.
Yeah, you'll be making up gigs and stuff just to get out of the house.
Yeah, I'm just off on tour. we'll see. I've got some ideas for a new book, but it kind of depends what I can get a publisher interested in, really, isn't it, at the end of the day. But I have, as I mentioned, got a piece in an anthology that's going to be coming out, published by Unbound as well. So I'm writing a few bits for various anthologies and for magazines and newspapers, and did some radio shows for Virgin Radio Pride this summer, will be doing more bits and bobs of radio presenting work too, which has been lots of fun.
Fabulous.
Super. Busier than ever.
Well, thanks once again, Rosie. It's been it's a great honour and a privilege to have you on the show, and thank you for your very wise choices.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you, and congratulations to everyone on the shortlist. I enjoyed reading them. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Cheers.
Thanks, Rosie.
Bye.
Well, another competition comes to an end.
I am spent.
Me too.
I'm exhausted. That was, I've read 3 or 4 stories and, it's been a lot of stories to get through. It's been a lot of work, but it's like a happy tired, you know? I feel like we've achieved something.
Yeah.
Although technically we haven't achieved anything. Stephanie's achieved something in winning the competition, but I feel pleased for her.
Yeah, well done, Stephanie. She is. Yeah, she's. Do you know what they call it in jazz?
No.
Do you know what she's got? She's got chops.
Right. Oh yeah. I do know that. Yeah.
Chops.
Yeah.
She chops. Has got chops. Yeah. She knows what she's doing with words.
She's got chops, and she knows her onions. Yeah.
She's got nous. She's got feel. Yeah. She feels a way around the story.
Yeah.
It's very instinctive. It's like she's hardly trying.
Perhaps she's one of those annoying people. Perhaps she just sat down for 5 minutes, scribbled it on the back of a fag packet and thought, I'll chuck that in. And turned out she won. Wouldn't that be annoying?
Yeah, that would
Wouldn't
be
that
annoying.
Be grating if you'd spent weeks working on your entry? And then, because we should speak to Stephanie, shouldn't we? We should find out exactly how much effort she put in.
Yeah, let's review. Let's tell her she's won.
Yeah. Should we just give her a call then? Can we do that?
Do it now.
Does GDPR perfect. Allow us to just ring her up? Oh, well, now we're not part of the EU. It doesn't matter anymore, does it? We can do what we want with people's information. So
yeah, no, but we'll, I mean, all the information we've got from this, we will be selling on to a third party afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Data mining.
Yeah,
that's what this was, whole thing was for.
Yeah, that's most of what it's about,
that's what all competitions are about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do you think they give away so much on this morning? They just want your phone numbers and stuff, don't they?
Yeah.
That's it.
Sell it to Google.
We don't do that, by the way, everybody.
We just
clear. That is not what
we've done. We are certainly not admitting to it.
Yeah, let's be fair. That would take a level of organisation that is just far
and
beyond
technical
our means,
skill,
wouldn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
Not happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't worry. Don't worry, kids.
Yeah, well, let's just give her a call then and, and find out.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi.
And thank you very much for joining us for a quick natter. Obviously, I wanted to have a chat with you about your lovely short love story. But first of all, I think it's only right to let you know that you are the winner of our competition. You won first prize.
Thank you. Yay.
Yeah, we thought your story was absolutely beautiful. And so did Rosie, who is our star judge. And we just wanted to know, I suppose it'd be nice to just have a chat to you about what inspired it and how it came about. Did it just pop in there?
Yeah.
Well, no, I actually joined a writing group, Retreat West, and every month they do a micro fiction story, which has to be 100 words exactly. And a couple of months ago, the prompt was wave. And so I wrote a little snippet, which is 100 words, on wave, which, as you probably can tell from the story, involves waves. And that was on the long list. And I sort of thought, well, actually, it had something about it that I felt this, I could take this a bit further, I could make a little bit more of a story of it. And then, of course, your competition came up.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, oh, yes, perfect.
That's, I see.
That was so how it sort of evolved, as it was. But yes, it did have a beginning, a real proper starting point.
And was it nice to add to? Because obviously you had 100 words initially. Well, did you find it difficult to get down to that 100 words in the first place? Did you have extra words knocking around as well? I was wondering.
I think I probably did. I think with some stories, I always find it really difficult to write those 100-word challenges. Although I think it is probably quite a good discipline.
Absolutely.
But I never do very well in them. But it's, I think also the thing with those competitions is they really try to make you think outside the box, because you can't go for the sort of the thing that everybody else, you know, your first idea is probably something that everybody else has thought about. So it sort of, yes, makes you think outside the box a little bit. Mm. But with that, well, not with every 100 story that I write, I sort of felt that had the essence of being something a bit bigger, and the characters I could explore a little bit more, which I think is obviously what happened, you know, surprisingly. Yeah.
That
worked quite well because, again, some stories, you don't want too many words. Otherwise, you start sort of spewing forth nonsense. But that actually seemed to work, sort of concise, but enough of the story.
Well, you came in well under the 500.
Well, that's probably because it started
very
short story,
but it packed a lot in.
Well, I think we found that, haven't we, with a lot of the best entries, you sort of forget about how long or short it is, because it's just the perfect length for what it needs to say.
Yeah, they sort of exist in their own time frame, their own gap, don't they, and it's it becomes irrelevant. But they were just, it was such a gentle story, some lovely, just very, very soft touch use of language in it, which was really, really nice, Stephanie.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
You'll enjoy hearing on the podcast what Rosie had to say about it as well, because she really, really loved it.
Oh, good. I will look forward to that, because I listened to last Monday and listened to some really great stories there. So it's sort of, you don't know what people are actually seeing in what you wrote.
Yeah.
So Stephanie, are you a habitual enter of competitions, writing competitions?
I do like a writing competition. I do write quite a lot more now.
Ah, right.
Yes, and in fact, my return to writing was because of competition, and that was back nearly 20 years ago. There was a competition called BBC End of Story, and it was a national competition, And it was basically that I think there was six really well-known writers and you had to end their story.
That rings a bell, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I was shortlisted.
Sounds good.
There was sort of six finalists for each. And that involved actually, which could have put me off writing for ages because you had to go down to London. You were filmed in a similar way at that time to sort of an X Factor.
Wow.
Where they just told you how rubbish you were, basically.
Yeah.
and pulled apart your writing. And then obviously there was three winners from each group, so which I wasn't one of. So I just got back on the train and feeling really, really bad about my writing and what I'd done, having achieved what was actually quite a good thing to be sort of on that shortlist.
Yeah.
So I got back home and I thought, well, either I can just let this sort of knock all my confidence and never do anything, or I can use it as a sort of starting block. So, and I chose the latter. And ever since then, I've continued to write. I've joined writing groups. I've done writing stuff, and I enter lots of competitions still because I like doing them.
Well, I'm glad that ended that way, because that could have, I mean,
yeah,
it's probably not what they were after with that competition, is it? To entice people in, oh, we like what you've written, come down on the train and talk to us.
Yeah.
No, it's rubbish, actually. Off you go. It's kind of
it was very, very strange.
Yeah.
Because I think at the time they were trying to go for that sort of format.
Yeah. Right,
which was
edgy
a popular thing. Which I think has changed a little bit now.
Well, you say that, Stephanie, but that's exactly what we're doing now. You haven't won.
I fell into that one, didn't I?
You haven't. It's all been an elaborate hoax. You haven't won. You've actually got the wooden spoon.
Yeah.
No, there's an element of unnecessary cruelty there, isn't there?
A little bit, yeah.
And I think for writing as well, it's such a delicate personal thing that, it could easily just knock you completely off it and think, well, sod that there, no, I give up, but... Fortunately, you had a stronger character not to.
Is the short form stuff, is that the stuff that you like working on? Or have you written any novels or anything else? Any drama?
Oh, yes. Oh, well, I've written three novels.
Wow.
One of which I self-published quite a number of years ago now, 10 years ago. And that was really sort of very much sort of my work. It's probably... rereading it now is probably quite painful, although the idea is quite good and the story's all right. Probably the writing is a bit lacking. and then I've actually published two one's a novel, one's a novella with a small publisher called Cinnamon Press, and they probably sold about a handful of copies, but there you go.
So you're a proper failing writer. You're doing it.
I am doing it.
Yeah, and you've won a competition.
Yeah, but I haven't got any further. Yes.
But still, it's very hard to hit the big time, isn't it, with writing?
Exactly. And I think it's especially if you're writing maybe stuff that's not quite mainstream.
Yeah, not super commercial.
That's what I'm sticking to.
Yeah.
I'm not writing commercial.
That's your excuse, yeah.
That's it.
I'll go with that as well.
Yeah,
that's why I'm not published.
Yeah.
Not definitely. Because I haven't actually given my manuscript to anybody to
There's
read.
There's no point, John. It's not mainstream enough.
Well, exactly.
It's not your fault.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. And where can we find, if we wanted to read your novels, where would we find them?
You can buy them from me on my website.
And what's your website?
It's stephaniepercival.com.
Right.
Brilliant.
Yes, and also, the usual suspect, Amazon as well.
Oh, yes, the lesser-known website.
Yeah, the lesser-known website that really hasn't done very much in the world. if you might get a hit if you put Stephanie Percival in.
We shall find the link and we shall put it on the show notes and encourage everyone listening to your
novel. Thank you very much.
Well, we think you're a very good writer, so I feel like your novels, they can't be bad.
Thank you.
They've got to be worth reading, surely.
And I guess one final question. Do you have any plans for the £300, Stephanie?
I'm going to put it aside for some creative, either course or...
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Something like that. Definitely, I'm not going to use it for anything boring. I'm going to use it for something more creative. Yeah.
Well, Well, wasn't that nice?
That was nice.
It was lovely, yes. Nice and good. It was all of the superlatives.
All into one. Yeah. But yeah, lovely to chat to Stephanie. Yeah.
It was lovely. Thank you, Stephanie. And thank you. We should also, do you know who you should thank?
We should thank Scrivener.
We should also thank Scrivener. As the competition rolls to a timely end, we should say thank you very much, Scrivener, for helping us out and being our sponsor. And just to say to all you listeners, if you are not using Scrivener, stop messing around. If you want to write a book, you have to download the software that best helps you do that.
Absolutely.
What's it called again?
Literatureandlatte.com. And if you do it now with using the code FAILING, you can get 20% off as well.
20%.
So it's a good time to do it.
Literally everyone is a winner on this show.
Absolutely.
And you probably won't be able to use that for much longer because our competition is now at an end. So crack on.
That's true.
But a massive thank you again to everyone who's entered. It would be much less of a competition, I think, if people didn't actually bother entering. So it does add a lot to it, doesn't it?
Almost, it really does.
It really does. I mean, it's annoying because it gives us a lot more stuff to read. Jordan, if
so
only two or three people
involved.
Entered, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It's not like we've got a lot of time for writing as it is. And then you add reading into there.
Yeah,
just,
exactly. Maybe we can, but we don't want to complain.
Has anybody written anything this week while we've been
don't
busy
be
with
ridiculous.
The competition or not?
I've been doing a lot of thinking about Poker Night.
Okay, yeah, me too, actually.
Yeah, we can really get onto that now, can't we?
Yes, I think we are actually in a position to finish it, aren't we?
Yeah, I think so. We're getting close. It feels achievable now, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, and I finished my 2,000-word surrealist story. Do you remember I was saying I was entering that other little competition?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get it in on time?
I did.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting little... It's quite good doing the competition ones where you get forced into a little corner rather than just doing whatever you want to do. It does make you flex some different muscles. So, yeah, it was interesting.
How do you feel about producing that, Tom, and letting us all listen to it?
I don't know if it's a bit too weird and not that good, but it doesn't mean I didn't enjoy doing it.
Well, what's different about that compared to everything else?
From the rest of our content. No, you're right, fair enough. You did that weird tree story thing, didn't you, so...
Well, exactly.
Yeah, maybe we should. I'll send it through to you boys, and you can give me an honest appraisal of whether it's a bit weird. I mean, obviously, it is a bit weird because it's surrealist.
Well,
it sounds like a good challenge because we haven't really done a sort of surrealism writing thing.
No.
Well, I had to have a little bit of a look around it because despite the wealth of books that I get through on a weekly basis...
as an avid reader,
Do you know what I mean? As an absolute bookworm, I have to say surrealism isn't really anything I've come across with. I couldn't even tell you exactly what it is.
As an art movement, yes, but as
yeah,
writing,
exactly, but
yeah,
in terms
no, it's
of...
A, it's a weird
yeah,
one.
I've read a few sort of surrealist stories, but I've never tried writing anything in that vein.
It was quite... liberating in a way, actually, because the way it ended up, it's in a sort of a reverse timeline, and then it was kind of linking a lot of stuff backwards and forwards, because it's almost you're writing in almost this kind of dreamlike state with the surrealism, so you can kind of have strange things popping in and out, and you're less restricted in terms of thinking, oh, that'd be a bit confusing for the reader, better not do that, whereas actually, that's fine. You kind of get a bit of a, as long as it belongs in there, then if the reader's confused, well, that's kind of okay.
Yeah. I suppose the surrealist movement came from like dream analysis and stuff, didn't it? So I suppose that makes total sense to look at it like a dream is a good plan. Yeah.
Well, I'll send it through to you.
Look forward to it, Tommy.
Boys, and you can have a little.
We're still in the sort of reading and judging.
Mood. I mean, you could do some more stories to read and have a little judge about, couldn't you?
Exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely. Am I too late for the 300 quid? Or,
I think we might have given that away now.
Yeah. Well, all that remains for us to say then is a big congratulations to Stephanie.
Well done,
again,
Stephanie.
Thank you to everyone that entered.
Yeah.
Thank you to Scrivener, and we will see you next week.
And it feels like, I don't know about you guys, but after, you know, those love stories, it feels like the world needs a bit of extra love in it at the moment.
Yeah.
So maybe we should end with Dave improvising a little song about love, a cappella style, right now. What do you reckon?
That's great.
I'll start with the bass line.
And then Tommy, you come in with some humming.
Yeah.
And then Dave, you take it away. Okay? Just a little improv song about love. You ready? Dum, 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 dum. Dum, 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 dum.
Love.
Dum.
I don't know what it means, but I always eat my greens. And maybe that just means I'm gonna be really healthy for my life. Is that the sort of thing
that
you were thinking of?
That's the kind of... Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice.
All right. Let's go with that then.
That was definitely nice, yeah. Okay, perfect.
It'd be very interesting.
Cheers, lads.
It'd be very interesting to see if that makes the edit. It'd be very. Jermaine, it's. Will it?
Well,
it's right on the cusp.
It is, isn't it? Is it?
I thought I was quite good, but I think John was a bit off key, to be honest. So.
It was distracting, that, wasn't it? I found that difficult. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of just.
Yeah.
I think that's what. If anything ruined it, that's probably what it was. Yeah. Well, we'll see whether that gets it.
Right.
Lovely chatting with you, fellas. Thank you for listening, listeners.
Have a lovely week, everyone.
Next time.
Take care, everybody. Hello.
Where's everybody gone?
Blah, 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 blah.
Squiggly, beep, beep, boo.
Blah, blah, blah.
Bish, bash, bosh.
Blah, 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 blah.
Wibbly, wibbly, wallop.
Weird ending.